everybody, and welcome to tonight's Weird Awakenings. We're going to be discussing Jack the Ripper. Tonight we've got with us our friends from Where in the Folk, Tully and Cecil, and we've got our other weirdlings, Hadley and Scott. So, you know, back in the late 1800s, you know, on the lower end of London, there were a string of brutal murders that went on involving prostitutes. There were so many people that were brought up as suspects on this, from Prince Albert all the way down to just, you know, some little guy that cut hair for a living. They never found anyone definitively that they knew had done it. There are theories that it was a multi-person thing. You know, and there were also speculations about, you know, the fact that it could have been a woman that was doing it. You know, I mean, the theories are varied and wide, and still we don't have an answer 118 years later, I think. So what do you think, guys? Who did it?
Landa.
Hey, Landa.
I hate to cut the podcast short, but anytime royalties involved, that's who did it.
I would agree. So when I was looking into all of the theories, I'm leaning toward maybe Churchill.
Yeah.
Churchill? Old Winston?
No, it's his dad.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
I've not heard that one.
Hey, Mama. Yeah. How far did you dig for that, Tully?
Digging, man.
I'm going to tell you, though, I saw bookmarked one, too, that said that it was Hitler. I kid you not. It was a site called The People Who Were Suspected But Probably Not. You know,
The murders took place in 1888, and Hitler was born in 1889.
So. Let me... So I'll read the case book from this. It says his link. So his name is Lord Randolph Churchill. It says his link with Jack the Ripper is tenuous. And he was the highest degree of Freemason and protecting the good name of the royal family. Gathered together a group which consisted of, there's a bunch of names that I don't know. But gathered a group together in a plan to murder five prostitutes led by Mary Kelly, who had been using their knowledge of Prince Albert Victor's secret marriage to Annie Elizabeth Crook for blackmailing purposes.
Okay.
And then, no, you're good. Scott, go ahead.
No, I was waiting for you to finish.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, like Cecil said, to kick everything off, usually if you're doing, you know, nefarious things for powerful people, power begets power. And, you know, he was a lord, and then, you know, look at what happened to his son.
I don't know. That's almost as bizarre as the theory I always throw at people. It was either aliens doing to the British prostitutes what they used to do to our cows, or it was a vampire. Though I will agree with one thing. I believe whoever was involved in this had a tie to the Masons.
He was the 33rd.
Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Stephen. And the reason I thought of that was, I was a Mason when I was in my earlier years, and I remember the story about after they had already murdered, I think two of the hookers, and they were. Let me see if I can find it here. Elizabeth Stride and Catherine Eddowes had been murdered, so on the 30th. So there was a police officer that was looking around for evidence, and he found a bloodied apron, which they determined to have been on Catherine Eddowes when she was killed. They found it in this this little hallway of an apartment building, the stairwell of a tenement. And there was written on the wall I think it was in Blood, the Jews, J-U-W-E-S. The Jews are the men that will not be blamed for nothing. Now, when I first read that, you know, when I used to study this when I was a kid, I always thought it was somebody mispronouncing Jews, J-E-W-S. But in Masonic tradition, the Jews, J-U-W-E-S, are the three Jubilo, who founded Masonry. And the detective, the inspector at Scotland Yard, what was his name? Commissioner Charles Warren, ordered it erased and told his men not to talk about it because he didn't want to cite a pogrom against the Jewish people. He was a Mason.
Wow.
So have any of you seen the Johnny Depp movie From Hell?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I tend more towards that side of the conspiracy theory.
Well, I had one of these conspiracy theory sites pulled up just before we got jumped on, and it said that the most popular conspiracy theory, even at that time, was that one of the members of the royal family was involved, and all the government and all of the police closed ranks to make sure information wasn't getting out.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember it was, I remember the theories. It was Albert, that he had given all these hookers, he had given all these prostitutes venereal disease and was trying to shut them up. There was the theory that I think it was Dr. Hill, who was the doctor to the royal court, who was trying to cover up something. Yeah, there was a lot of connections to the royal family. But then, I don't know, as far as I know, there really isn't any proof of anyone.
No, they did a blood test on a scarf that they found on the fourth victim, I think, a couple of years back. And they tried to tie it to... I can't remember his name, but he was a barber.
The Kowalski, and, I think.
Kowalski, that sounds right, yeah. Or close to that. And but they said that it was on a scarf this and other, but she was also a prostitute. I mean, yeah. Who's to say what all was found as far as that? You know, because like I said, she could have gotten that at any point in time.
I'm sure everybody's left a jacket or something laying around.
There you go. Okay, here we go. Here's the Hitler thing. And it starts with, this is bulletproof. So that always is scary. So there's a theory that the Duke of Clarence had a role in the Whitechapel murders, and combine it with the fringe theory that the Duke faked his own death to begin a new life in Germany as Adolf Hitler. Sure, he would be considerably older than the man we know as Hitler, but didn't Eva Braun describe Adolf as an elderly gentleman when she first met him? And I'm like,
well, it was the blood of the prostitutes that kept him young.
Right, there you go. That's it. That's where that vampire thing comes into.
Also known as Elizabeth Bathory.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's it. But yeah, like I said, I mean, yeah, I read it. And this list also had like Van Gogh, you know, and a couple of other people that you're just like, huh? But when I got to number one and it was Hitler, I'm like, oh God, I got to bookmark this.
I just drawing knowledge from episodes that we've done in the past. Cecil, wasn't there a connection to Saint Germain?
Yeah,
but I can't remember it.
So Saint Germain was an alchemist in, what was it, like the 1600s or something?
He was an alchemist as far back as the 1500s, I do believe, and they still think he's alive today.
Yeah, they think that he found through alchemy, he found immortality, and he's been spotted throughout history. And apparently around the time of these murders is one of the times that he's been spotted.
Since they're throwing out suspects from history and whatever, why not Aleister Crowley? He could have done it.
He's actually on this list too.
He would have been what, like 12 or 13 years old?
Yeah, about that. Mona, yes. Patricia Cromwell did one, and she had it out to be Walter Sickert, He was an artist, and he was actually a suspect several times during the investigation. Hey, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hey, Amy.
So, yeah.
Welcome, Amy. Welcome, Lee. Hey, Mark. Sorry, guys, I had to step away for a minute.
Oh, that's fine. Was it a bowl emergency?
No, I had no lights on in here, and it's getting dark. So I thought, well, I better turn the lights on now. I'm going to get engrossed.
And somebody's going to sneak up on you.
Yep.
Drop the ripper.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
apparently, it's going to be Adolf Hitler.
Well, Aleister Crowley pretending to be Adolf Hitler.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
yeah,
there you go.
That's what it was.
Well, nope. go ahead, Kelly.
I just think that it's too many people. There probably was evidence. I just think that this probably can't be a coincidence. I think the police were in on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think there was a lot covered up in it. Crowley also, Robert Donston Stevenson, I think was, he was a part of the Crowley crowd, you know, the theosophy group and everything. And he was supposedly a Satanist and was, you know, killing them for sacrifice and that kind of stuff. And alchemy was brought up in that part, in that one too, Cecil.
Well, if the royal family really are lizard people, then they wouldn't need the blood.
Yeah, the Draco.
Yeah.
David Icke may have been correct.
Well, they're anemic, so they have to have it.
Well, the one thing that always got me was, I remember, I think it was 1989. It was the 100-year anniversary, and Scotland Yard said that they were going to release all the records, and we'd know who Jack the Ripper was. And they released the records, and it never said who Jack the Ripper was. So that and the Masonic connection, because, you know, some Polish barber, some Jewish butcher he was on the list. They're not Masons. If they were, if it was Masonic related, it was somebody important, maybe a member of the royal family. So
I saw Lee's comment a second ago. Lee, when I was researching it, there was a theory that it was just a complete mess between the Russian secret police and the Metropolitan Police, and they just hated each other, and that's why the investigation failed.
Mm-hmm. And that's Kaminsky was actually from Russia too. Oh. So yeah, he actually migrated there. So yeah, like I said, there were tons of different groups involved. There were so many things that have been misplaced, lost, you know, probably just thrown away because, you know, they didn't want people knowing who it was.
If we start dropping, it's because Mona brought up the Queen.
Yeah, she was old when I was a kid too, Mama.
Yes, ma'am. One thing
about Whitechapel, though, like people say, it could have been numerous people because if you think about the times, like violent crimes were not that strange at this time in this particular area because I mean it wasn't really a sweet place to live. Mm-mm. Like these prostitutes were staying, and I forget what they were called, but basically you'd have to hang on to a rope to sleep, like hang over a rope, and you pay like 5 pence a night or something. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. And so, and there's literal feces just flowing through the street at this time. Like it's a rough time to be alive.
Oh yeah. And you know, and I think that's one of the reasons too, that this was so well known because this was not the first serial killer. You know, but it's the first time that there was mass communication. You know, it was in the newspapers there, and then it spread around the world. It was also the first time that a lot of the people in England ever knew how bad it was in this area, you know, because they've got blinders on, you know, so, oh, yeah, that, it's not that bad, you know. And then now it's in their face, you know, oh, wow, it's really that bad.
Yeah, and that's kind of my angle. I'm sorry if anyone's already hit on this, but maybe there wasn't a Jack the Ripper. It was this right here was a common occurrence in that area in East End, because of all the alcoholics, because of all the prostitution. This is something that happened all the time. And the press made up Jack the Ripper to shed light on how bad it was.
Yeah.
Very well.
That makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Totally muted.
Oh. I mean, the only reason I disagree with that is because if I remember, all five murders were very similar.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it could have been carried out by somebody who was really into social issues. You know what I mean? Like that.
It was also somebody that knew what they were doing. Because the way, especially when you got to Mary Kelly, the way the organs were cut out, it was somebody with, they think it was somebody with medical experience. Now, a very interesting theory I heard, it was a midwife. She had performed an abortion and it failed. The woman bled out. So this midwife, who was a bit nuts, went around and butchered five more women. So everybody would be looking not towards her, but towards a Jack the Ripper.
Oh. It could have been. Another thing that's so wild about it, they had to have some kind of ideal blood splatter because it said that they would cut their throat in a way to where the blood would shoot that way, you know?
Yeah.
Keep them. Yeah, so they would sneak up from behind like a coward would do.
Exactly.
Right. Right. Well, you know, in every theory, in every different person, you know, I mean, I get it. It was crazy, you know. Forensics weren't what they are now and everything like that. But it's just still so much there that they should have been able to find. I mean, you know, what are the odds, especially if it was someone well-to-do or someone, you know, with prominence, you would be noticed in an area like that.
For you know. Back then, whenever they walk in and there's blood everywhere, it's like, we need to clean up this blood so we can see what's
going on. Right. I mean, you know, people threw their chamber pot waste out of the window, you know.
I was going to get to that later, but that's the number. That's the person I've always thought it was. H.H. Holmes. They've all but dismissed him as the person, so that makes me believe it really is him.
Mona, I actually did have several things that said it may have been a female, either a wife that wasn't happy that, you know, her spouse was frequenting the ladies down there, or, you know, like say a midwife, you know, that was trying to cover her tracks, you know. So, I mean, I don't put it outside the realm of it being a female.
Oh, no.
If it was a woman who was upset because her husband was frequenting the district, she should have just cut him off rather than kill five innocent women.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, because what are the odds that she'd have gotten the right one? Yeah.
Lorena Bobbitt. Yeah, a name we all know and love.
Don't say that too loud, Scott. My wife can hear this.
Off topic. If I was Lorena Bobbitt's husband, I would be boasted. Yeah. Police found it in a field as they drove by. They looked and said, there it is.
He got to be on wrestling.
He actually did go on to make porno movies.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Let's not yell. Have you ever watched him?
Frank and Wiener or something like that. But we're digressing.
Yeah.
Well, one of the theories I've heard about why they never found all the blood was that it was the doctor or it was somebody with a coach who would entice them in, kill them, then they would drop the body off somewhere with all the organs. Now, the only reason I don't buy that is, you know, aren't you going to see somebody carrying a dead body out of a coat?
Mm-hmm.
Mona.
Well, you know, they talk about, you know, he's dressed all spectacular with a top hat, you know, clean dressed man, but in all honesty, he probably wasn't. He's probably more dressed like the people that lived in the area.
Right. Happened to be somebody down there that, you know, those nights that was in a top hat and he stood out. So that's why people described him that way.
Or the two-man system would work like that. Like one man dressed to the teeth and then the other one dressed normal.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's I've been watching this series on Amazon called Lore. Have you ever seen that one?
Yeah, it's
really interesting. It takes things that are off the wall and actually tells how it came about and things like that. So, like the one that I was watching last night was about, you know, how they used to, the body snatchers, they would take them to the doctors and the colleges and stuff. Yeah. And these two guys got this great idea because their roommate had died and they took him down and he was so fresh, they offered like good money. So they would just find somebody that was sick and kill him. Well, then when that, you know, they got rid of most of the sick people, then they got some not so sick people and started, you know, so they were carrying all these really good bodies down there. And what ended up getting them caught was one of them felt guilty and turned evidence on both of them. And then he told them that, you know, oh, well, I was in on it, but I'll tell you what he did if you don't kill me.
Yeah.
So like I said, you know, I also think it's not beyond the realm that it was more than one person.
Yeah, so I'm sorry to cut you off, but copycat killers have always had been around as far as long as I've known in my lifetime. And I would think that since that's something that does happen in modern day, I figure it could have happened back then as well.
Right. Well, and who's to say there were only five victims? Maybe those five, they had either escalated and started doing more, or they got better. So that it didn't look like such a butcher job and nobody made the connection.
Are you saying that the media might be exploiting this situation? Never.
Surely not.
I'm devastated by that.
Everybody knows that Project Mockingbird didn't start till the 1900s.
Well, see, I think that we've learned from those times, and there's nothing but honesty on the media now.
Well, I mean, let's be honest here. They had to get the TV ready before everything really kicked off.
Can you imagine if this was happening today?
Jeez.
Stop.
It's happening all the time. What is it? At any given time, there's at least 25 active serial killers in the United States or something like that.
Well, yeah.
24, dude. I retired.
I mean, being an ex-Mason and CIA agent.
Well, serial killers today have to be like literally cutting edge, like stealthy. Random, super random, because of the algorithms that we have now.
Well, I mean, you can think about like Israel Keyes, for instance, like the nu metal serial killer. If he wouldn't have snapped and got caught by a camera, he'd been went on forever. So it's possible.
Well, I heard that actually it shows like NCIS have helped the criminals. Because everybody watches it and thinks, oh, you know, if you've got one fiber of hair, you can determine exactly who did it. And when they go to the courtrooms, that's not the way it is. So if the prosecutor can't prove by an NCIS shadow of doubt, a lot of times these guys walk.
And what's so crazy, too, like when everybody's like, well, there's cameras everywhere. But I mean, I can look out my yard, out my camera right now. It's crystal clear. But if somebody's stealing something out there, it automatically becomes like staticky, like everything static.
What's crazy is that, you know, the circumstances of COVID has also made it probably a little bit easier to hide your identity because nobody's going to question you if you wear a mask.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's very true. Mm-hmm.
Except down here because of the mask.
So were there a lot of unexplained deaths near where Telly lived?
I live extremely close to Cincinnati, so there's a lot of weird stuff that happens.
Was that a confession, Telly?
Well, you know, sometimes just throwing things out there throw off the scent. So
But what about the brutality of Mary Jane? No, like. Do you think it was just because they were secluded, or do you think there was like some kind of personal vendetta? Because that seems like a vandalic killing, even if he's dissecting, you know.
I think if it was the same person that they either one hated women or had a serious problem with women, and even if there was more than one involved, then it's possible that the one that was doing the majority of it still felt that way, but that someone else was there to keep him from getting caught. Mm-hmm. You know, help him out.
I think Mary Kelly was, because she had her own place. Every other place was in an alleyway or in a little courtyard. So the killer had to be really quick and proficient in doing it. But, you know, a cheap old apartment, he could have been there for hours. Nobody would have known.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, he went as far as to, like, peeling the skin off of her face and stuff.
Yes,
terrible.
Yeah.
You'd have to be extremely proficient with a blade to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw a comment. I don't know if it was Alan or somebody else a while ago. We actually kind of theorized the royalty thing a while ago. It definitely could have been part of, you know, the royal family, or you know, the theory about Winston Churchill's dad being part of it.
My biggest fear is that it was a nobody. Like, I don't know why I feel that way. Like it's nobody incidental. Like,
if it was a nobody, it would have had to have been like a butcher or like somebody who's super proficient with instruments like that.
Cutlery.
Yeah.
Right. Kind of like the people that were around there at the time.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, they actually. Barber. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. There was a Sweeney Todd in Easter.
Go ahead, Hallie.
I was gonna say, you know, but to me, the real ideal killer would be someone who walked into that scenario knowing that they had no connection there, that they had no way that, I mean, it could be somebody. Yeah. The reason I always liked Holmes for it was he was not a native to London. He was someone who was, you know, just there for a little bit, and
could be how he got started.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying that it's him, because I think someone had mentioned earlier that he's been crossed off the list. But, you know, there's a thing about having someone walk in and do the perfect murder when they have no connection. That's how a lot of serial killers avoid detection, is, you know, like truck drivers. They don't have to report to anyone when they're cross country. They could pick somebody up very easily and have no trace or tie to that area.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that was especially true before you know, cell phones became the norm and everything like that, because
happens.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely. But like I said, you know, you didn't have to worry about somebody snapping your picture going down the road, you know.
Well, and think about it, if you were to wear a quote costume that stood out and had nothing to do with you, that people would remember the costume more than the look on your face.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a brilliant way to avoid detection. You know, if you're just this horse trader from Scotland that, you know, you're in town and, oh, look, you know, there's an opportunity.
But was the outfit, the black cape, the top hat, and that, was that ever identified by anyone, or was that a concoction of the media?
Good question.
Because I don't remember that anybody ever saying, oh, they saw a guy. And even if you did, that's not saying that the guy in the top hat was Jack the Ripper. He's always portrayed that way in drawings of at the time.
Well, Scott, I'm going to go into a little bit of something that you and I love, is that Somewhere in Time. Is that what was the name? Or the Time Machine?
Somewhere in Time. Wells.
I always like that. That it could be, maybe it's a time traveler. Maybe it's really not Adolf Hitler. Maybe it's just a time traveling psychopath.
It was Adolf Hitler who didn't die in the bunker in 1945. He teleported back to 1889
after he made the Argentine.
You know what? I was looking to see if there were any imagery out there. You know, the top hat and the cape and stuff. What came to mind was maybe Dracula or something, but it wasn't written until 1897. Yeah.
Right, couldn't have been Vlad. So
it was Bram Stoker.
He was. Could have been.
Hey, that's an interesting person, just FYI.
Yeah.
If you look into deeply into some of the stuff that he actually believed in, everything, he would fit good in with this group and everything. You know
the imagery of the top hat, though, like people, like around here, I've heard stories of people that's met the devil. And whenever the devil comes to him, he's always wearing a top hat and things like that. You think they're being kind of tied into that? Like, I don't know.
Well, at the time, it could have been the predatory look of the upper class.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can have that aspect of it. You start looking at symbolism, and like Scott said, maybe that's why the newspaper painted it that way, was to portray him as someone who was of a different class than the people who lived in that area.
But to Alan's point, there was never mention of a top hat. Like, I don't know. Like he said it came from Michael Caine movie. That.
What was the time period that Spring Hill Jack was around?
Spring Hill Jack?
Let's see.
Yeah.
I drink that coffee and it's very good.
I remember the movie Lee's talking about. It was supposedly going to, you know, reveal the truth, and it never did.
Oh, the first sighting of Spring Hill Jack was 1837.
So it could have been Spring Hill Jack.
Okay.
I saw Lee's comment a minute ago about the true attire. I'm probably just typing in the wrong thing, because when I type in deer slicker hat, what's coming up is like this really funny picture.
Don't show it. The Russians will get it.
I sent it to you, though. I'm just sending it to everybody one by one.
Now I'm looking it up. You
know, I'm actually looking at old newspapers of Jack the Ripper. Yeah. And or of the stories of the time, and none of them show an image of an actual man. There's one that shows like a ghost with a knife. It shows a lot of the police officers and witnesses, but yeah, even they've got like an artist sketch.
Oh, you got the picture.
They've got like an artist sketch, and there's no hat at all. So. It's very well, it could be from a movie.
Yeah. Lee seems to be an expert on this. We should have him on the show.
Right?
Yeah. We've got some great people who tune in and really make these shows great for us.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just saw the picture.
What about Francis Tumblety?
I'm looking at this picture and I'm thinking Yakov Smirnoff.
Yeah, exactly. You were thinking along the lines I was. That had to be a Russian immigrant.
But you know, one of you mentioned it earlier. Highball was it was the worst part of London to be in. Nobody cared. You know, I mean, it was, hookers and, drunks and all that, nobody ever would have even probably known about it and known what it was like unless this whole Jack the Ripper thing came out.
Right. And for people who lived in a mansion to find out this was happening within a mile of their house, I'm sure they would have been surprised.
Yeah.
Do you know if it got cleaned up after all this? Like, did they tear, like, the district down or anything after all this happened?
Oh, no, it's like a huge tourist area now with the original buildings and everything.
But I just wonder if, like, if they came in and, like, took the trash out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I did a Jack the Ripper tour back in 1993, and it really hadn't been cleaned up that much.
That's what I was going to say. I had a friend that went there a long time ago, and they said it still smelled about the same day. Imagine it did back then.
Well, yeah. I just think about like bigger cities, like here in Cincinnati, some of the places that would have been considered super like sketchy to be in back in the 80s and 90s, people have bought like these areas up and are turning them into like
gentrified them.
Yeah. So, the houses and stuff might be there still, but I wonder if after that, everybody's like, you know, wanting to get that real estate for the Jack the Ripper tours and stuff, you know?
You never know.
I don't know. It'd be kind of weird to say, yes, this townhouse I'm living in is where Catherine Eddowes was murdered. Yeah, no ghosts there.
You know, as much as I love New Orleans, and I mean, I do, it's one of my favorite places, it still has the majority of the original buildings. It is not a clean city. It is absolutely disgusting, you know, in places.
I think New Orleans has probably some of the coolest architecture in America.
Do you think it's left over from before the reset?
Maybe. Could be some of it.
You know what? If we're thinking of Jack the Ripper completely different and something happened with CERN and beforehand we actually knew who Jack the Ripper was.
Hey, you know what? We're going to have to do a proper episode on CERN one of these days because I found out that there's a particle collider under the Hoover Dam this week.
Yeah, there are several in America.
And on top of the Hoover Dam, there's black cubes of Saturn with demons on top of them. And it talks about creating an oasis in the desert.
You're making my dog bark.
There's a particle collider about 45 minutes away from here in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Don't take him out. He doesn't mean it.
You know your game.
The Hoover Dam. You know when the Hoover Dam was opened?
When?
I believe it was opened on 9/11 of whatever year it was.
Ah.
Mona, definitely go to New Orleans if you get the opportunity because it's awesome. Even though it smells bad and everything, it's still worth the trip.
I still want
to. I would wait. I've heard that some bad stuff's going on in New Orleans currently. There's not really much of a police presence.
Yeah. See, there are certain dates in the occult that are very, very powerful to them. Well, 9/11 happens to be one.
I think the 9/11 significance, in one of the calendars, it is like almost like a rebirth. Like they say that they use that date to manipulate the future somehow. But, or way off track. So maybe there's a date that CERN could have used to manipulate the past, and that's how. Like maybe there's a serial killer in the present going back to kill people.
Scott, were you warned about us before you came on?
No, but you're on the show with me. The NSA and the FBI are listening in. So you're all on the target list now.
I'm sure I was on it way before this, Scott.
Am I the only one who read the FBI record?
Must be.
Just by the stunned silence, yes. So the FBI has done a record on Jack the Ripper, which is pretty interesting. It's a profile, if y'all want to read it. It's kind of cool. I will send y'all the link.
What year did this come out?
Yeah.
You got to ask questions I don't got answers for.
If it came out in the past, Donald Trump was Jack the Ripper. So.
I'm going to have to shoot you down, Tully. I don't think it was open September 11th. I can't find a date.
I'll have to go back and find it.
And I've just realized how immature I am because every time I
spell 88. It's 88.
Every time I spell Hoover Dam, I put an N at the end of it. And I know that's not how it's spelled.
We have a small dam near at my house called Everett Dam, and I keep on telling my wife, if it was me, I would have named it Giba. Every time I do that, she rolls her eyes.
Okay, well, this is pretty interesting, and it does talk about like some of their theories on like what he did after the murders. It has offender traits and characteristics.
This is a legit like document.
I told you, I'm getting better at this.
Like I clicked it. I don't need to be going to FBI.gov.
It's vault.fbi.gov.
I definitely don't need to be on my own watch list. I was searching today to not leave marks when beating your wife.
It was funny. When I retired from the agency and moved to Florida, there was a white van parked out in front of my in-law's house for a week. My wife really thought that it was like, what the hell is he doing that they got a van out front?
Hey, okay, Hadley,
yeah,
quick, I don't know if you noticed it, but last week we got through the entire show without the word CERN being said.
Did we?
I yes, think we alluded did. To it.
No. I went home last week.
Hey, no. I had a paper pad that I sit right here, and I have been putting marks every time CERN comes up.
Well, you know, like this.
This time it was Cecil. So,
yeah, it wasn't me. I would never bring CERN into true crime. Like,
I feel like they're involved in everything. I mean, the reason that we think it now is because of a true crime thing. I mean, Nelson Mandela. Oh,
true that.
But anyway, this is an extremely unique document, and I wish I would have read this now.
Well, it was written in 88, so I'm sure there's been evidence that's come to light since, but it's pretty interesting to see the detail in which they did go, and that there is some stuff that probably hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was one person that, and I don't remember who, and I wished I could have remembered, I researched it. He was being executed for a crime, and just as they pulled the lever to drop him, he yelled, "I am Jack," and then he died.
What?
Really?
Yeah. What?
I forget who that was.
Yeah.
Who was that?
So he could be Jack the Ripper, or he could be just, you know, I'm going to screw up the history books forever.
You know, I did also read that what Mary Jane Kelly, wasn't she like the last?
Yes.
Yes. That her husband was suspected.
I didn't know she had one.
Yes, said he was actually a reporter at the time of the murders and was covering the courts and the inquests and everything, and that he was suffering from mental illness, most likely a schizotypal personality disorder, and he lived on Myland Road in Whitechapel, which was just 7 minutes away, and that his wife's name was actually Elizabeth Weston, but that she was part-time a prostitute named Mary Jane Kelly.
Hmm. Now, what Scott was just talking about, the guy's name was Dr. Thomas Neil Crane. Mm-hmm. He was actually somebody that was specializing in illegal abortions at the time. So reading this, I remember this guy now because he actually got arrested, and the reason he was executed was because he was found guilty of murdering his mistress's husband with poison, which is kind of against the rules, but I mean, who's to say? Because his last words, "I'm Jack," though, he could have been Jack the Rabbit, though. Nobody knows.
Yeah. Well, the thing about that, to me, that stands out in your statement is that the prostitutes were identified, and they were the ones that were targeted because they had no worth. Mm-hmm. These were women who were disposable. They were less than human to a lot of these men.
What are the odds that all of these women were a result of botched abortions that they were covering up?
Could have been. That goes back to what McGonagall was saying.
I mean, think about it.
Each of the woman was having an abortion?
Yeah, so just like these women needed an abortion, and whoever was doing them was botching it. They didn't want to be caught, so they staged it to look like a murder.
The only reason I'm going to disagree with that is four of them were out in public.
Well, James Maybrick is the one who wrote the diary, right? And he confessed to being Jack the Ripper.
Who was this?
Liverpool businessman James Maybrick.
Mm-hmm.
He confessed. He wrote a diary and confessed. The diary contains grisly details that only the killer could know, is what researchers have claimed. And
Lee said the diary is a fake. Lee, how was it proven a fake?
Well, his wife Florence poisoned him, so
no.
It could have been. Well, she could have been pissed off.
I think by a time it probably got close to like how everybody claims to be D.B. Cooper. You know what I mean? Like where everybody's just claiming to be like for the fame on their deathbed and stuff.
Well, they say that there was a pocket watch that was found in 93 bearing engravings reading J. Maybrick, And the engraving was "I am Jack" and contained the initials of the five victims.
Wow.
Really?
Test of the, now again, this is older evidence, this isn't current. I think this is from the, let me see, what's the year on this? 2017. And it says that tests on the watch were not fully conclusive, but suggested that it was not a modern forgery.
All right. Well, Morgana, you're reading over old newspaper articles. How much were the names of the victims given in the newspaper, and how much of the grisly details were in there that could have allowed a copycat or a wannabe to have knowledge of what took place?
They could have, because there were a lot of them that actually showed, like, you know, bodies, you know, like sketched out and stuff, how they were found and everything. So, I mean, it's possible.
You can still find a lot of those pictures.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, how many people claim to be the Zodiac Killer?
Yeah.
Is that the one that they said there was a brotherhood of killers involved in it? That there was a documentary on Netflix in the last...
The Zodiac Killer was Ed Edwards. Everybody knows that.
I think Lee had actually mentioned that in the comments a few minutes ago about the brotherhood.
Cool.
But yeah, I would say there's a pretty strong case that Ed Edwards did a lot of crazy stuff. I think he was probably the Zodiac.
I think Ed Edwards was the Zodiac for sure.
Y'all got me confused because it's Lee Edwards, and I was like, not Lee. Don't be talking about Lee like that.
They claimed and found out who the Zodiac was recently. I didn't put much into it because I didn't see the name Ed Edwards, and I know that's who did it, so I just didn't read it. There's too much evidence. But let's...
Oh, now he's confessing. Don't say that, Lee. People start talking, dude.
Lee, don't do that. The FBI's listening in on me.
If you didn't know,
three-letter agencies show up at your house knocking on the door.
Scott used to work for the Alphabet Mafia.
Yes. CIA, clowns in action.
What about Francis Tumblety? What do you think the chances of him being a killer was? Because he kind of just like, he's like, we think you did it. He just kind of split town, changed his name, went back to America and everything. He had the nice mustache. He was kind of a quack, you know.
Kind of like yours?
No, I wasn't quite.
Cecil looks like, if you took a black and white picture of him, he could be related to A.J. Holmes.
No.
look up a picture of H.H. Holmes's mustache and tell me he don't look like Cecil's little
brother. It looks like Wyatt Earp's mustache and Tombstone.
You gotta get your style from somewhere.
Go for the classics.
But I always thought that Tumblety could be him. I love the idea of H.H. Holmes just because, you know, well, it's not cool that they murder people, but, you know, I like to read about that stuff. But when it's a strange idea that he came from over there with like that kind of thing and came here, but he did change his MO completely. He built a castle here and murdered all kinds of people. It was weird.
He's an interesting dude.
H.H. Holmes, he was a wild man.
Yep.
He did everything. Insurance scams, murder, straight up murder.
He checked all the boxes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm looking at him right here.
On the
so
I am evil. Check.
H.H. Holmes goes on the list.
I had always thought that's who it was. That's who I'd always thought.
Well, do you remember the movie? And it was actually a book, James Patterson, I think, Kiss the Girls. You know, they had the two different guys on different sides of the country committing murders and like sending each other pictures and stuff like that. And because of the timing and everything, they never connected the two and everything. Because like I said, they were one East Coast, one West Coast and everything, you know. So Holmes, you know, he was all over the world. So why not? I'd like to do some research to see how it coincided with when he was in Europe.
There's a little discrepancy, but But I mean, who's to say, give or take a few months, you know? You never know. Yeah. Well, everybody knows that history for the most part's a lie anyway. You never know when he was actually there.
Well, with forensics constantly changing, you know, you just don't know. Yeah. I mean, I would be curious if Scotland Yard had ever published anything like the FBI did.
No. Okay. No, they're keeping that stuff really under wraps. And which, again, makes me wonder, you know, like when we did our discussion on JFK assassination, if the government's keeping a lid on it, what doesn't the government want to know? And if the government, if it was some Polish butcher or, you know, some Italian dressmaker, they would have published that information.
Well, I think you might have retired from.
That's my thing. Like, if it was somebody of a lower class and they knew who did it, they would have straight up turned them over, like Scott said. Like, they don't care about that.
Well, yeah, it's an issue of national security.
Yeah, you don't want to find out, you know, the queen's son was butchering hookers. Nowadays, that would make them really popular, you know.
Yeah, nowadays it'd be a reality TV show.
I mean, if you believe that video of that person jumping out of the castle that one time, it might not be too far.
Oh, yeah. Sell that one, huh?
That looked real to me.
Yeah.
Maybe not get too far down that, but yeah. It's out there.
The truth.
Yeah, and of course the facilities they owned in Canada where they found hundreds of dead natives.
Oh yeah, that keeps happening too.
Yeah. Charles Cross. I won't look him up.
Lee, you are an expert on this.
He knows an awful lot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
We should.
Well, this is one of the most popular topics.
Oh, it is.
Across the board. Everybody, you know, is interested.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it makes for great fiction, science fiction.
Yep. Yeah. It does. It does. Because, I forget what it was. I was watching something one day, and it was one of those... Shoot, what was the name of it? That's going to kill me. I'll think about it 10 minutes after we get off. But it basically, the same concept, it was, okay, it's gone. Never mind, just forget I spoke.
You know how vast the suspect pool is? I'm reading right here that the Jack the Ripper suspect pool is whittled down to a mere 60,000 or so people. Yeah. Wow.
knowing the way governments work, the real Jack the Ripper is not on that list.
this is something, unless we invent time travel, will never be solved ever. That's plain.
Montague J. Drew, was he the actor?
Hang on, let me see if I've still got him up.
Oh.
Yeah, Montague John Truitt. Let's see, he committed suicide right about the same time the last murder happened.
Oh.
Yeah. He was Whitechapel local, resided a few miles away. He was seen in the area at the time of the murders.
Okay.
But it doesn't say what he did on this particular
one. Yeah, there was one suspect. He appeared in, I think, the Michael Caine movie, in which he was an American actor. I think he was doing Jekyll and Hyde. And he was under suspicion because they thought he might have like a split personality.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Back then, all you'd have to do is drink the Thames water. It would probably kill you.
Ain't that the truth?
And Portrait of a Killer, Jack the Ripper, and the author Patricia Cornwell pinpointed artist William Walter Sickert.
Yep, Sickert.
As a real guy, and even claimed to have DNA evidence. Is this the person that had found the scarf? Who's this?
No, the scarf was different. That was Kaminsky.
Wow.
That
there's no DNA evidence being found, like, even like a year after this. the DNA evidence was washed away, and like the whenever the cops were still there.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, if I remember, wasn't the scarf like in possession of someone who claimed like their great great grandfather had kept it from the Jack the Ripper files?
Right, and they said that they did a DNA test with one of Kaminsky's ancestors. I mean, yes, you know, he was their ancestor. But that's what Lee was just saying, was that he was in France for two of the murders. So, you know, and they were all pretty fresh kills out in the open. So it's not like they sat, you know, for any length of time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And everything. So, but yeah, like I said, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, a lot of people fit it and you're like, oh yeah, he could be. But then, you know, you've got some, it's just like, eh.
I don't think we'll ever know definitively.
No, no, we won't.
That time machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott breaks off with the location of the time machine to see how he's hiding from us. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, but see, if I had the time machine, I'd go back in time and buy stocks for something that was really important today.
So. Apple. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll give you $20 if you hook me up.
Hey, I actually have a niece. Her father-in-law was offered Microsoft stock at $5 a share.
Oh,
and to this day, if you say the word Microsoft in his hearing, he just goes on a tangent. So.
I had something similar happen to me. I was offered 100 Bitcoin for $100 once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never trusted Bitcoin from day one.
Mm-mm. I didn't either. That's the reason I didn't buy.
Well, you know, like I said, it's not doing real well right now, is it?
It's only $22,000 a coin right now.
Is it? I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I know so little about it.
It's doing pretty poor.
It's lost a fortune. I think the only ones who made money were the ones that organized Bitcoin. I'm sorry, electronic money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just my internet craps out 5 times a night. Like, I'm not going to put all my money into electronic.
You know, Lee, there was a merchant sailor from Germany that came up. Where did that go back? Ta-ta. Carl Fagenbaum. He was a 54-year-old German merchant sailor. Even his own lawyer believed that he was Jack the Ripper.
Really?
He was a psychopath who confessed to mutilating women. Said he went by a bunch of aliases, and that he was on a ship that was docked near Whitechapel, and records prove that he was working in Whitechapel on every single date of the 5 Ripper murders. So he immigrated to America in 1890, where he was convicted of murdering a woman and was sent to the electric chair. So
I don't know. I mean, it's like D.B. Cooper, except he stole souls instead of money.
Now, my question would be, the murder he committed in the States, how did he murder her?
All it says is that experts stated that there were striking similarities between Jack the Ripper's murders and the slaying of the woman who killed him. So, not definitive, but possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so here we are. It's been an hour, and we still don't know for sure who the killer is.
Well, one of the great mysteries.
We'll have him on here and he can tell us who it is here soon.
That's right. That's right.
Because it was David Warner who took HGL's time machine and came into the present.
There you go. Old Shakespeare.
I'm with Lee on that one. I do believe that he came to America. Yeah. America. For sure. I sound like such a redneck.
America. America.
Land of new start.
All right, guys, what's everybody up to? Hadley?
I am working on finishing up a new book that I'm releasing this fall, and hopefully getting back to the third installment of my Tapestry of World series. I'm hoping to have it out by the end of the year. I've been working hard on doing TikToks for the weird kids over at our TikTok account at Weird Realities. Y'all, I'm having so much fun. You need to send me your picture so I can make you a TikTok with the whole teenage dirtbag challenge.
Right. Scott, you had a book that released today, didn't you?
Yes. The third book in the Tatiana Paranormal series, The Ghosts of the The Ghost of the Maria Doria. You can pick it up on Kindle, Kindle Unlimited. The print version, Amazon and I are trying to work. There's some flaw in the system. And I'm going to be doing giveaways tomorrow night, 8 to 10, Saturday, on Horror Writers, Inc. And Sunday night on my Facebook page, 8 to 10. I'll be giving away free books, autographed copies, free Kindles, the works.
Awesome. Guys?
Oh, wearing the folk. What was the last thing we did? Oh, yeah, it's Pact with the Devil. That should be coming, the first episode that should be coming out in the next day or two. And Hadley joined us for that. So everybody come out and check that out. And then the future's up in the air because we rock out. That's what awesome. We do. Awesome.
Hey, Steven, you got anything going on?
I really don't have anything going on at the moment. So
you know, you and I are the two most boring people.
Y'all actually get out and do stuff.
Yeah, well, no. I guess it's about 3 weeks ago. I did do a show with the World Bigfoot Radio. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, you'll have to send me the information. I can get it circulating on our stuff.
Yeah,
and I've got a page for you on our WeirdRealities.net, so I'll put it up there too.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I'll send that link then. So if you, awesome. If you get bored out of your mind, you can go listen to that. So
I listen to Bigfoot stuff all the time.
She does. She tells me about the stuff.
I send her and Tully stuff all the time to listen to.
If you were going to ask me, I was going to say digging holes and saving souls. I'm deep into landscaping right now.
Tully has an immaculate yard.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh wow!
I'm dead in the middle of football season, so I have no life right now.
Well,
Scott's doing a takeover tomorrow, so if anybody has time, they need to go by Horror Writers Inc. and check him out.
8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Awesome.
Somebody wants attention.
Yes. Well, the puppy's in here, and they're not, so they're about over it.
I thought that was Boudreaux making the noise.
No, those are mine.
That's not mine. My baby's doing good.
Yeah, no, mine is not because she said I'm not happy that the baby is in there, and we are not. So,
Lee, right, thanks so much for participating a bunch.
Yeah, Lee. Yes. Lee.
That's awesome. Yes, sir. Thanks. SerialKillersInc.org. Got it.
We will check it out, Lee. Thanks, guys, for showing up.
I thought Serial Killer Sync was a bad movie that was coming out from Asylum.
Could be.
All right, guys. It has been great. Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was great. Anytime. Like I said, I'll send you the list.
Okay.
We have a list. All right, guys, thanks for joining us.
Just so y'all know, that list is up on weirdrealities.net on the Weird Awakenings page.
Yay!
So our fans can keep up with what's going on, too, if they want to participate and send us some information or some questions.
Yep. We've got some cool guests coming up in the next couple months.
Yep, yeah, we sure do. So, all right. Well, we're going to call it. And everybody have a good night. And until
thanks,
next
Lee.
Time.
Thanks, Linda.
Stay weird.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.